If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a lovely day out there and raining, and it just makes it so nice, and I thought I'd put a little upbeat jazz with that. Good mixture. Anyway, last week I talked about a couple things, and especially ALEC. And ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council. And I definitely want to talk more because it's such a big subject, and many people that I've spoken to in the interim after having the show and when I've not many of you out there know what ALEC is, or you suspect that an ALEC exists, but you don't know the complexity, and you don't realize, because it's not presenting itself as being a problem, because hidden, it's embedded in the rhetoric of the language of take back our country. Let's take government, make government smaller. You know, all of that kind of language and what have you. And that the reality is, it's a fantasy. What is it when someone wants to take back the country? And I thought we established ourselves when the British were here, and maybe the American, the native people taking back their country, is that what it means? Not really. What it really means is that you have some right-wingers with some specific ideas to exclude people and put government first, and that being their agents of the government, so they say, but in reality, they're government for business, big business. And I'm going to try and illustrate that today with you with some documentation, and I'll be quoting from the Mother Jones newspaper, an article in 2002. We'll talk about Think Progress. We'll talk about a number of things exposed, that ALEC exposed. These are organizations that have been watchdogging this subject of ALEC. Caller, you have a comment or question?
Well, good morning, Carol.
It's hey.
Kathy Vogel with Animal Rights Hawaii on this beautiful rainy morning.
All righty. Are you staying dry?
Yes, I am, and enjoying listening to your program, as always.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to advise you and your listeners that next Saturday, June 6th, there will be an International Day of Protest against the captivity of whales and dolphins at theme parks.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Worldwide Empty the Tanks. And there will be a protest from 11 to 4 at the entrance to Sea Life Park in Waimanalo. And I hope that everyone who cares about captive marine mammals will take a moment, a couple of moments, come out, wear sunscreen and a hat, and bring water, and demonstrate their concern about the dolphins in captivity.
Uh-huh. And the reason is for the protests and the objection to animals in captivity. Can you share with the listeners why you have those concerns or what motivate you?
Absolutely. Dolphins are animals that use the entire ocean. They're constantly in motion and spend their days looking for food and being dolphins. And what they are when they're in a tank is a very sad feature. It's not the way these animals should be living, forced to do stupid tricks.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there were humans in that predicament, we would call it solitary confinement or a punishment, would we not?
Yes.
Or a sentence.
Yes, and I believe that is considered cruel and inhumane.
Yeah, that was going to be my next step, and so often I'm looking at, as I shared with you earlier this week, I'm annoyed by this commercial that's run by Sea Life Park, that they start off suggesting that they're protecting endangered species and what have you, and yes, they do have the threatened turtles there, but we have to be very careful in accepting that as science, because that, in my opinion and observation over the years, not much science, and it's more of entertainment and making a dollar. And in fact, some of the conditions there permitted the breeding, the accidental or intentional, I don't know what it was, but to breed a dolphin with a whale. And now you got a wolfin, an anomaly. But again, these are the kinds of things that you have concerns with, is it?
Yes, absolutely. A colleague and I attended Sea Life Park about a month ago. We took a number of photographs of infrastructure that is in very bad shape, rusty holes in ceilings, just not really very nice facilities. And we have filed a complaint with USDA, the animal APHIS department, which oversees captive animals, and we hope that they will do an inspection and hopefully will do site Sea Life Park for having these facilities that are not maintained properly.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad enough to keep these animals in captivity. It's even worse to allow them to live in facilities that are substandard.
Yeah, I know, because when I watch their commercials, I'm dumbfounded. And all my days in being on the oceans and patrolling and just out recreating, I've never seen or witnessed a dolphin lift a woman and flip her, you know, like they show in the commercial. It's not natural. I believe that a little history about Sea Life Park, actually, way back when, they used to sell scrimshaw, you know, whale's teeth and whale bones and scrimshaw materials. We moved to shut them down. But historically, they give this image that they are protecting the animals. And in fact, migratory birds such as boobies and other birds were brought there. And they were a rehab center on cage. Marlou, what was her name? Her father was very instrumental in the zoo activities. I'll think of it. But anyway, birds were taken from the outer islands and the atolls and whatever and brought there. And they tried to create an ambience by having these birds, and inevitably, because of the draft and how these birds, when they leave for the day to go forage or whatever, they would get hit by a car because of the downdraft, or a truck would hit them. And so this image that it's this contained animal cages and ponds and pools is good for the animal, in my personal opinion, it really isn't. And I believe that NOAA has really sleep on the job. I believe that the government agencies that is responsible overseeing that and regulating it are pretty loose with them, are they?
Well, yes, they are. And because there's dual oversight between USDA and NOAA, there always seems to be things that fall through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And those commercials that Sea Life Park has been doing, I think, are a reaction to a fall off in ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, SeaWorld lost a huge amount of money and a huge amount of visitors after the film Blackfish mm-hmm. came out 2 years ago about orcas in captivity. Mm-hmm. And people are beginning to get really akamai and realize that this is not the way to see a wild mm-hmm. animal. This is it's artificial and it demeans the animals and they have absolutely no conservation education materials in their gift shop. I searched through it completely, asked the manager, and they had nothing. Mm-hmm. It was all toys and junk. So, but that the main reason that I'm hoping that people come out.
And this function again is to go ahead and describe it and tell us what, when, and how they get involved. And do you have a number that they can call and inquire?
If they go to Facebook mm-hmm. and type in "Empty the Tank Oahu," you'll get all the information. It's going to be at the entrance of Sea Life Park next Saturday, beginning at 11 and ending at 4. The address is 41202 Kalani Anaole Highway. I'm sure everybody knows where Sea Life mm-hmm. Park is, and there's bus service out there. And bring a sign, bring a banner, and bring your aloha for the animals that mm-hmm. we want.
Okay.
We want the tanks to be empty. And thanks really for the opportunity to share this with
yeah,
the audience.
It's important because it's a one-sided affair over there, and it is disturbing to see. And knowing how NOAA and the National Marine Fisheries Service is just derelicting their duties, just period, every day. When they walk into their office, it's a fraud when it comes to either they're handing off the species to the fisheries, or they're handing it off to the fishermen, or they're handing it off to the exhibitionists. Or, you know, these kinds of things. And so I applaud you for at least bringing attention and trying to strike a balance, because I'm still puzzled as to how sea lions are found their way here. What is the science behind that in their display? Do they still have sea lions?
Yes, they do. They
so
have a number of
sea lions. Are these native Hawaiian sea lions, or what are they, and where are the sea lions? I'm being silly, but how did they get sea lions? That speaks of this is a money-making machine.
I don't know. I did not see any monk seals, which are, I believe, the only endemic seals mm-hmm. here in Hawaii. But they do have sea lions. And, in fact, we noted one who seemed to have a lesion on her back, which mm-hmm. are mentioned in my complaint to USDA. So they did not have what I felt was adequate screening from the sun, and either did the dolphins.
But how did they get them here? What permits? Did they exempt them from some permits? I thought Marine Mammal Act, there's some strictness ruling.
Well, they can't capture, I know, cetaceans from the wild
mm-hmm.
anymore
mm-hmm.
and bring them into the U.S., but, of course, the dolphinariums have become very, very popular throughout Europe and Asia, and I'm sure you've heard of Taiji in Japan, where
mm-hmm.
every year from October to April, the people of that town go out and corral many, many, many dolphins, killing them, stabbing them to death in the harbor so that the water runs red with their blood, and the pretty ones are taken by dolphinariums, the mm-hmm. ones that are handsome and don't have any
scars, or battle scars,
yeah.
or one
yeah.
eye. Now, let me ask you this: this process of with the animals over there. Does the agriculture department give permits, or does NOAA give the permits? And also, part of this drive, what bothers me is that it's become a big popular thing and big money maker, it's a swim with dolphins. When in reality, I've observed it, and I think that what they call swim with, maybe touchy-feely and dunk you in the pool right quick and then snatch you out. But is that science? Who's benefiting from that? Does the animal benefit from it, or does the people, or the soccer moms who has the money to pay $100, $200 to have their kids taking a picture with the smiling dolphin?
Oh, it's a minimum of $250 at Sea Life Park and goes up from there. The day I was there, we saw three groups of 12. There were 36 people, and they were standing in the water. They got to touch a dolphin. They weren't swimming with the dolphins, but what one of my colleagues calls the swim with programs is lap dancing with dolphins, because people just want to get so close to them, and they're willing to pay a huge amount of money just to do that. And it's not science; it's entertainment at its basis. I think it's certainly not something that the animals will enjoy.
But it sure speaks to the ineptness of and the lack of concern that NOAA has permitted to exist there in this state, especially. And with the import of or the placement of sea lions there, that is absolutely makes no sense. And I don't know if you need to have these animals in captivity, but I've always asked the question is, with all this money that you do make from the, quote, scientific efforts, how much of that are you giving back to the natural species here, the enhancement of habitat, the education? Right now we're dealing with a matter. Monk seal was hooked just the other day, and NOAA couldn't come out because they expressed concerns for falling on the rocks or what have you. This kind of nonsense, you know, they were quick to say, these people are helping us. So maybe NOAA needs to create its own hospital, and that way we wouldn't need someone to house these animals. We would have our own official facility. But I think that's how some of this get permitted and get slips under the door, because they're, quote, helping the government.
Well, Sea Life Park is owned by an offshore corporation, I believe, in Mexico. So I think it's more difficult to find out about the finances from when these companies are not registered in the United States. So I just think it's time, well past time, to get them out of the parks and back in the ocean.
Well, I think that if the ultimate statement is why we should ban this activity is the fact that they were careless and reckless, or maybe they intentionally did it. I don't know the history, but allowing the dolphin and the whale to actually mate and procreate, and that is just bad science. It's bad for the species. It's bad for everything. And so anyway, that's one of the things, and I applaud you for at least bringing attention to it.
Well, thank you very much, Carol. I appreciate the time, and I look forward to listening to the rest of your show.
All righty. Thank you, and aloha. I guess I can use that word. I don't know. I got to go down there and pay my... what do you call that, copyright use of it? Or?
Well, there have been an awful lot of people using the word aloha in their logos for years and years, so I'm not going to get into that one.
No, I just want to be careful. No.
All right, bye-bye. All right, now.
Thank you, aloha. Well, again, you can join them out there at Sea Life Park and... Empty the Tanks campaign. And I know some of this, it could come across as being it's radicalism, but folks, in this state, this thing called environmentalism and this thing called protecting their resources, We are so far from the center line or the truth of protecting anything. There's so much politics and finances and what have you. We don't really have a protection. We have government entities sitting on, stacked on one another, lying, cheating, and not doing the job. And when it comes to an issue, how do you leave a monk seal with a hook in its mouth? And then some working for the agency suggests that the hook will fall out. I don't know about you, but an 18-aught hook stuck in my lips, I'm sure that would be a wonderful sight for many of you out there, but I don't eat bait. But I won't go for the hook, line, and sinker. But it's awful. We see the monk seals are dying. The mother is aborting. She dies. We have them with the hooks in the mouth. And this issue, while we're on it, there has to be something done, because this is a take, mind you, an interaction. And so the fisheries out there, the sports fishermen or whomever, they're faced with a matter that they need to, under the Endangered Species Marine Mammal Act, there's no incidental take on the monk seal. So I think NOAA needs to step up to the plate and get off of its butt and making excuses and get out there and start protecting, because it is one of the most endangered mammals, marine mammals in the world. And so they cruise on you know, cruise control, having fun while the animal is slipping into extinction. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Good morning. Yes, I have a comment.
Okay.
Of course I have a comment. Many, many years ago, I was part of a crew doing a documentary in Niloli'i, which at the time was the last fishing village left in Hawaii. So I went out on a little boat out into the Pacific Ocean. You know, all the camera crew was out in different boats. And
was this back to Africa?
No, this was Niloli'i.
Oh, I'm teasing you, Marcia.
Yeah, I know you are. Anyway, so we've got this little bitty boat, and we're out, you know, in this big ocean, and I see these two huge fins, the dorsal fins, coming right at us, and so my heart was like back to, you know, Jaws, thump, 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 thump. And so the captain of the boat said, oh, no, 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 no. Don't worry, those are dolphins. And I said, dolphins? She said, yes, they follow us because they came from Sea Life Park and they don't know how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to survive in the ocean. They're used to people eating them. So whenever we go out fishing, they come after the boats because they know we have fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that just broke my heart, that they would turn loose.
Yeah.
Magnificent animals, and because they've never lived in the ocean and they've been used to people hand feeding them,
mm-hmm.
they didn't know how to fish.
What was that saying? Give a dolphin a fish, and he might for they but give teach him how to fish, he'll live. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah.
It just broke my heart. And of all the things that happened there in Niloli'i, and that was in 91 or 92 or something like that. It was, you know, it's still one of those things that when I was listening to your guest, and I remembered just how horrible I felt about these two beautiful animals not knowing how to fish.
Yeah, we don't understand fully the impacts, but when they're jumping and hopping through hoops and all, that crowd is infatuated with that. But the reality is, it's the ugly side of government that permits this. And I'd like to, for a week, put a couple of the biologists that oversees these species and regulate them, have them jump through hoops for just 2 days. I'd be satisfied with 2 days and see how they like it and remove. But, you know, who knows?
Well, yeah. I wonder sometimes if any of these so-called experts know anything. Some of the things they do in the name of, especially Noah, who is the whole department, is so full of personalities. that you hear other people say, oh, I can't get a permit because, mm-hmm. and it's all about the personality.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's a big problem, and the thing is, Noah is absolutely shamefully sit in the back room playing games, and it's all about lies, about running out, plucking it from the water, whether it's a melon-headed whale or sperm whale or baby whale or humpback, monk seal, the pilot whale, whatever, they tend to escape it by saying, we are going to conduct a necropsy, but you never see them come back and formally submit that necropsy unless you file it, and I file for a request. And so that's one of the reasons we should just simply say no to these exhibits until we get solid enforcement and solid reaction on the part of the scientific.
You mentioned the cohabitation or crossbreeding of the whale and the dolphin.
No,
what happened?
Wasn't crossbreeding. They somehow, either through lack of control, which the species should never have been coming in contact with one another, and they should have been separate, or they intentionally, I don't know, I can't recall the history of it, but anyway, I don't know what happened, but there's, I want to get on and talk about Alec. The smart Alec. I was, before I took the call from Kathy, this thing called Alec, and I'm going to do a bit of reading, I see there's... Hold on, I'm going to answer this. I'm sure it's...
Certainly. Go ahead.
Yes, caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, in regards to the protest that's going to go on at Sea Life Park.
Mm-hmm.
When is that going to be held?
I don't recall the exact time. Kathy, if you can call back, it's the exact time. I don't recall. Do you... Animal Rights Hawaii.
Okay, the thing I wanted to talk to her while she was on the phone is her next protest, I think, should be at the Honolulu Zoo. I think they should be I hope her organization can get involved with shutting down the Honolulu Zoo and following the Honolulu Zoo. I think she should get her organization to protest the Waikiki Aquarium. And let's free all these animals that are being held in captivity.
Hey, you...
I'm sure she would call back and say that she, her organization, is in the process of having a protest at the zoo and at the Waikiki Aquarium.
Well, they've had, I'm sure they've had many of demonstrations against that, and I do agree. The Honolulu Zoo, if the public knew the number of animals that have died there, just recently, the hippopotamus, the giraffe, and things of that nature. But a lot of the animals that were, when we call them access from the zoo, were actually given to the Kualoa Ranch, and many of them there died, and historically, and in other places. So while I understand what you're saying, and don't take it lightly, but there's some legitimacy to the protests and the awareness, because right now it's lopsided, and the zoo would be the perfect place if I wholeheartedly agree, because the leadership in the zoo has been troublesome. In fact, almost none for the last, four directors? So I agree with you, and Rusty is an example. I personally file a petition and petition the city and file a complaint, and that is why Rusty today have, because it was destined for Kualoa Ranch.
Yeah, well, in regards to the aquarium, I said there's been some controversy there also. And in addition, I've been there, at elementary school. It's an educational thing. But I'm looking at the poor fish. They're looking at these humans looking at them, and the humans are looking at the fish. I wonder what they're thinking about while they're looking at each other.
Well, I could probably, if I could speak for the fish, I'm sure you remember that red fox. What you looking at, you old fisheye fool? You know, so.
Yeah, but again, about releasing some of the animals, zoo animals, to Cool Old Ranch. I hope they didn't release any tigers or lions up there.
I don't know the total population, but we could have a long discussion of that. I have a file bigger than my head.
And one last comment. I saw the picture of that seal bouncing around with a hook in its mouth. But, you know, I have some female friends. They have these rings in their nose, their ears, in their lips. And I know them personally, and a lot of them have them in their private parts. So I don't know about the seal. I think eventually it'll probably get used to that hook in its mouth.
Well, one thing about it, my friend, the ladies that you... and we'll definitely, they're ladies, and they, the women, they chose to have the hook placed in their mouth, right?
Yeah.
And wherever they have it, all up and down the equator, wherever they have those hooks and crooks or whatever. But see, the monk seal, you back up some, the monk seal is an animal that has evolved, and he has stout whiskers, and he has that lip, and that whole, the evolutionary process, he has that stout lip, and it's real sensitive to him when he's down there and stirring up the water and the silt. That lip plays a very sensitive role in detecting food, right? So to suggest that a lady puts it on her private part, it's okay for the seal to struggle. No. That we need to abandon those kind of thoughts, and that if we are freaks, that doesn't mean the monk seal should be a freak.
Well, did they actually catch that seal?
No. They didn't as of the other day. Apparently it was reported that it broke the monofilament line, but there is a leader, a metal wire leader.
Yeah, I'm a shoreline fisherman.
Yeah.
Never caught a seal.
Yeah. But again, this is NOAA needs to step up to the plate, because there's many questions. They introduced the monk seal and increased the population here, but then afraid to say anything to the fishermen, because they're afraid the fishermen may rebel and take it out on the monk seal. What an awful position.
Yeah, and regarding the word aloha, I use aloha show you for a lot of my cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that lady would get involved with the protest to rename it to Arigato Soyo.
Hmm.
No, thank you.
All righty.
Word aloha.
So okay.
Anyway, thanks, Carl.
Aloha.
Goodbye.
All right. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I just had a couple comments.
Yeah.
That woman who said that the dolphins were swimming next to the boat and it was so heartbreaking because the fishermen said it was... they were released and they did not eat.
Mm-hmm.
The dolphins have been doing that for hundreds of years, following boats, following vessels. So for her to, I mean, that's kind of far-fetched. And also, I'm curious about your guest, if she's a vegan, if she's, how far, what perspective is she coming from?
Mm-hmm.
But she's not on now. But, at what point pets should be outlawed? I mean, dolphins are known to be affectionate to humans,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's just in their demeanor. I don't know what it is, but they do that. And
right.
And my dog, which you follow him back, they come from the same breeds, wild dogs, and
mm-hmm.
he loves to be pet. If you stop pet him, he'll pick up his arm and tell you, "Hey, keep on going." At what point? I mean, you can't get into the animal's head and say, "Well, we can't take pictures with them because that's they don't like that." I mean, we really don't know.
Well, I, when you came into the world and the doctor slapped you on the ass and you went, did you see a dolphin in the hospital room with you? No, you didn't.
What does that mean?
Well, my point is, these are species that have evolved and they live in the ocean. And when we acclimate them, when we take that species out of the wild, acclimate it, get it used to depending on food from human beings, a fish here, throwing a fish there, it is what she was talking about. It wasn't, dolphins do, in fact, they are playful and socialize, and they run behind the wake of a boat for many years, eons, And they also follow the boat sometimes, if it, depending on the type of boat. If they're cleaning the fish and the offal, they throw overboard, which they shouldn't, the dolphins might find it attractive. So, and also, dolphins are attracted to fishermen's hooks. And when they catch a opelu or what have you, dolphins, there's a rough-toothed dolphin off of Hiko out there that will strip you of every fish you can get until he's gouged himself. But I think we have to stand back and just say it's okay for people to express themselves, and they don't have to be submitted to a psychological test or a stress to just to be able to say, this is what I think. And when you say, well, does she have the right or the information, there's bigger issues there. And do you agree that dolphin and a whale should never be bred together?
Forced, I don't know, but in the wild, who's to say that they wouldn't, you know?
Well, there are...
I mean, there's people that say blacks and whites shouldn't, you know?
Yeah, well, so. I know, but again, I think when someone expresses themselves, it's like there's this desire to just really hammer at them, and I think whether she's a vegetarian or eats concrete for breakfast, she still has a right to express herself. And they're in like minds, have a right to go out and express themselves and say it's wrong. They didn't say we're going to go over and bomb the damn place and shut it down. They said we're going to have a civil protest to raise the issue.
No, and that's all right. And that's great if they want to do that. I'm just saying, you know, I'd like to get more in depth, because you got to admit there are radical animal rights activists.
Oh, of course there are, and there are radical government people who sit there and take a salary and lie and won't even do to balance out and to avoid the contentious relationships that the animal rights and the businesses or these displays that swim with dolphins and all of that. If the government did its job and ensured that this is strictly, you cannot take animals from the wild and use them in captivity for entertainment.
Then like if, circuses and things.
Well, not just like. It's a matter of life and death for these species. If it's going to benefit the species, fine. But if it's just for entertainment and making money hand over fist, I think me have a right to ask the question, where is the balance? Where is the enforcement? How did we get sea lions into the state? You know, there are no sea lions here. What's the need? What's the diseases? What's all of those issues? And so when, you know, these are the issues. And remember the setup at Kewalo Basin with all the dolphins there?
Yeah, actually, I did some work on that.
Right, and do you recall them having sunburns and pink jaws and all of that?
Is that the NOAA facility?
Well, no, this was a private entity.
Magic Island.
Lou Herman.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Though, just like she's saying certain things, you have a right to ask those questions, but I think that the knee-jerk reaction nowadays is if you express a concern for balance and protection of a species and environment, immediately the chorus goes, those radical you-know-what, and they're extremists, and all they're vegans. It doesn't matter if the agency is failing to enforce and uphold the law and enforce the Marine Mammal Act and enhance the betterment and the well-being of those species as they're tasked with and mandated. I think the conversation stays there.
Well, I do agree with you on that. And you know, there is a lot of good also. I mean, there's a lot of marine biologists that work their way through those systems. And for animals to be in captivity and being harmed, like you said, if they had sunburn, I haven't heard that story.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's true, that is a shame.
Yeah.
Because these people are learning about marine science and marine biology, and they should be the first one to.
And you have the right to raise that question, because we have examples where the animal rights activists have actually gone in and freed animals like at mink farms and released them, and then they all end up getting run over by cars or being plucked by eagles because they've become acclimated to being fed. They never set their feet on the ground ever. So, but again, I think we should stand back and look at all things in total and say each situation warrants its own argument or its own subject discussion, but not to just group it as she's wrong for want to raise this because I share her ideas because I have a history of background knowing the shortcomings of NOAA and knowing the reality that as we see whales die about 200 a year. But
I totally agree. I like I said, I think the aquarium, I think the zoo is good too to a certain point, and you know, to shut it all down, there has to be a balance. I like what you said. There has to be a balance.
Yeah,
I agree.
And there are educational values, and you can in fact use these species in the display of them. And but we've had repeated, and when we have them living in squalor, like Rusty. You can go to EnviroWatch.org and see the full story on Rusty, where the city had this orangutan sitting there drinking its own urine and taking rags that was soaked in its own urine and sitting there playing with it. And I don't know, I've never read anything that says orangutans like to drink their own pee. But again, and then they had him in a small crate, box crate. It's shameful, but you can see all those pictures at EnviroWatch.org and understand that when someone speaks up, they're not just being radical. They're alerting you to maybe there's some problems that exist, and then it's up to the government. But I think the culprit in all of this is the National Marine Fisheries Service, Fish and Wildlife Service, NOAA, or DLNR, and the Agriculture Department, because they are politically influenced, monetarily influenced, and they just frankly don't give a damn. And so if they were to do what they, we could go home and rest and say, well, you know, we know that if they're violating or taking an animal or abusing it, the government is going to uphold the conditions of their permit and enforce them, but we can't expect that.
Yeah. You know, I don't agree with you much of the time, but I agree with you at balance and keeping holding their feet to the fire, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I love that. It makes my day when people say, well, I don't agree with you all the time. You're damn right. You shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I said most of the time.
I got some weird science going on here, brother.
Yeah, but I'm with you on that. Absolutely. Nice talking to you.
Okay, thank you, man. All righty. But it's a dangerous relationship in a position to have because I go out and I look for spilling and the dumping and all of that of chemicals that will be harmful to everything and all people in the environment, and I'm called an extremist. So where do you stop? I mean, the person that neglects his duty as a government worker and an employee and enforcer. If when they fail, what are they? Criminally neglect? I don't know. But again, it's so quick to frame an argument, you know, about these things. And would you tell the people that argue on behalf of other species that they're radical too? And there's always a balance, but I think the problem is the invitation is when the government fails to enforce or act properly or appropriately or responsibly, then there's where the problem. And speaking of government, back to Alec. And let me just read you. This is Mother Jones and talking in a 2002 article, Ghostwriting. And I'm going to read some of this. And please, guys, if you want to call in I did write letters to Gene Ward, Representative Gene Ward, Sam Sloan, Tupola, Ms. Thielen, and Ms. Thielen and Tupola wrote me back respectfully and said they have no involvement with Alec and what have you, and they were respectful of the process of I ask a question there, but McDermott, Kimberly Pine, just flat out blew me off. So much for this mantra of we need to give the people government back to the people, and we need the people to have transparency. But don't ask Republicans, some chosen few of us, to ask have the public ask us any question, because we're just going to say, hell no, we ain't going to respond to you. But it's okay. The nice thing about it, in Mississippi, they did teach us to read and research. So this thing called American Legislative Exchange. And Mr. Gene Ward is reported on their website as a state chairmanship of one of the committees, the task force, and what have you. So, and they also refer to Mr. Sam Sloan. Now, here's what this Mother Jones talks about. On August 7, 2007, thousands of state legislators and corporate lobbyists were scheduled to descend on Orlando, Florida, for the annual meeting of the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. There they could play golf, listen to speeches by Secretary of Education Rod Page and Secretary of Labor Elaine Chao, and attend the Thomas Jefferson Freedom Award banquet. Marsha, what is that Thomas Jefferson Freedom Award banquet?
The Thomas Jefferson Freedom Award banquet, I don't know what the Republicans do, but the Democrats have a Jefferson Day event because Thomas Jefferson was supposedly the creator of the Democratic Party, but I don't know how the Republicans do.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, the Thomas Jefferson Award, raising a glass to limited government, okay? Those able to resist the lure of the Epcot and Gatorland could also attend sessions of, quote, free market, end quote, reforms designed to minimize government's role in health care and curb lawsuits on consumers by consumers. And all the while, state representatives and business lobbyists would engage in what ALEC calls, end quote, exchange of ideas, end quote, about public policy. But that exchange didn't end when the conferees returned to their home states. With more than 2,400 state lawmakers as members, roughly one-third of the nation's total ALEC is a year-round clearinghouse for business-friendly legislation. Its 9 task force, each composed of legislators and representatives from private industry, sit down together to draft model bills on issues ranging from agriculture, school vouchers, which are then introduced in the state legislature across the country. And mind you, Mr. Sloan and Mr. There is actual legislation that was introduced about vouchers and scholarships here in the state. And for those of you that will say, well, they don't matter because they're just little guys and they're the minority in the government, Sam and McDermott. But if you just look at the same-sex issues, it's still been challenged and challenged, and they got their butts handed to them in their hands the other day from the courts. But, you know, when do you let up? But though it calls itself the nation's largest bipartisan individual membership association of the state legislators, ALEC might better described as one of the nation's most powerful and least known corporate lobbies. While other lobbyists focus on the federal government, ALEC gives business a direct hand in writing bills that are considered in state assemblies nationwide, funded primarily by large corporations. And some of those corporations we found, Altria, RAI, Reynolds of Tobacco Companies, and they fund and donate money to Gene Ward and to Sam Sloan. Now, mind you, just to strike a balance here, Pfizer also was reported, and Pharma was also reported, and I checked for, just as a check to see, and also the DuPont was also one of those donors that support this organization. And Pfizer, I'm told, is recently pulled out. There's an exodus of a number of them, but I checked with Josh Green's donations, and he, too, has received money from Pfizer. So not to say they're damned if they, Gene Ward and Sam Sloan, is guilty of anything but it's just these are supporters that fund the ALEC that have gotten. And I don't see any legislation from Josh Green that is equal or that is would have fit a bill that was a boilerplate in the back room and handed off and brought back here. And even the act of the Jones Act, it has some history with Gene Ward. Actually, the Jones Act Reform Council or Committee actually donated money to Gene Ward back in around 2009 or earlier, maybe. We're trying to figure out the exact date, but they report that. We got about another minute. I'll come back in the next hour, and we'll talk in greater details. This is the Carol Cox Show. We'll see you shortly.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. You can also pick this up at KWAI1080AM.com on the internet if you're having a little difficulty in hearing. But also, if you'd like to listen to it on your phone and free your hands and get out and walk. But we're talking about Alec, the just an interesting set of circumstances here on how some of our laws are made and who is responsible for introducing them. And this Alec, Mother Jones' article talks about it in a report issued earlier this year. Defenders of Wildlife and the Natural Resources Defense Council denounced Alec as a vehicle for corporations to buy access to state legislators, often with little help from taxpayers, who in many states foot the travel bill for legislators who attend ALEC meetings. The report found that groups' corporate donors, some of whom pay membership dues of $50,000 a year, have included Philip Morris, Amoco, Chevron, Enron, and American Energy Institute. Alec enjoys what it calls an impressive presence among the leaderships of state legislators, with a membership that includes speakers, presidents, and majority and minority leaders in 22 senates and 30 houses. Here, the group's alumni, just so that this is just a strange coincidence, I guess, in the news, the group's alumni also include the governors and more than 80 members of Congress. Among them are House Speaker Dennis Hastert. Maybe Bob Montgomery want to interview Dennis Hastert, and his tonal choice is the same sex or something. I don't know. I just read the news, and hey, there you go, Bob. If you don't want to write me and answer my questions, maybe you want to catch Dennis and get an interview with him. Sounds like he's filled with information. Majority Whip Tom DeLay. Wow, what a colorful group of people. And they get to sit with the businesses, the big businesses, behind closed doors, as you heard the report that was exposed with WXAI last week. And they get to sit there and write bills, and I'll read you their explanation in the 990, the tax forms. And they get to say what goes on. So anyway, that just gives you an idea. The council wasn't always dominated by business interests. So that's one of the things. And just to give you an idea, so you know, there was a, and I told you earlier that the Jones Act Reform Coalition donated $1,000 to Gene Ward. It says here, Gene Ward, Republican in Hawaii. And this was some while back. The organization now is a disband, a dysfunction, And so what happens, Gene Ward introduces on the Jones Act now. He gets a donation. And then he also later has been instrumental in talking up the Jones Act. This is their style. This is what Alec does. And he issued a press release, a news release, on March 20th, 2013. Now, I asked Gene Ward in my letter if he had done any of this or any questions or any authored any bills, introduced any bills, and he just didn't respond. And likewise of Mr. Samson. But Representative Ward urges, this is a news release, Jones Act reform. Honolulu Representative Gene Ward introduced a resolution, HCR 150 and HR 119, calling on Congress to enact Jones Act reform legislation extending Guam's U.S. bill exemptions for large ocean-going ships to Hawaii and Puerto Rico. Now, again, it goes much more than that, but he actually gets a donation and the House concurrent requesting Congress to exempt the non-contiguous domestic trades of Alaska, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico from the United States bill requirements of the Jones Act for large ocean-going ships. And Sam Sloan, and this is 2015, introduced a state concurrent resolution. And so it's sort of a tag team. My concern is that this, in reading the history of this and how it works, is that this is done at these fancy meetings, and they get scholarships paid their way to go to these meetings. And they are members of this organization, or officers, or when I say they, I should say Gene Ward. It doesn't show Sam Sloan as being an officer, but he is a participant and receiving donations from the organization or companies that fund Alec. So when we talk about open government and making a smaller government and giving government back to the people, what people are you talking about, Gene Ward? The ones with big pockets? Or people like me who are not included in the process in closed doors at these fancy camps that you go to? Or is it the people that sit in the legislative body and witness when you introduce bills and go to 10 hearings, but you don't hear the whole history that you've been abroad working on this with behind closed doors and the bills have been authored by Alec? if you told us that, maybe we would have some reason to maybe want to accept this practice. But it's silence, and then you're advocating, but we don't know where you're advocating from, and we don't know how you arrived at this decision. You, Gene, and Kimberly Pine, that when they come to town, you're there to participate with them. You're not guilty of anything, but you are the ones who talk about government as too big and too sneaky and not transparent. And yet, you are the picture, poster child of that very situation. Paula, go ahead with your comment and question.
Thank you for taking my call. My name is Mr. Alec.
Smart Alec, again. I'm hanging up on you.
No, you cannot. No. The next thing I was going to say is I beg anybody who is an advocate of Alec's to please call and explain to me the following. As an Alecan, I am for liberal free market trade policy. Number two, I'm against inflation because I don't want Keynesian philosophy to raise the cost of everything. Three, let the market set the price. Four, privatization, we don't need government. Public-private partnerships, acceptable. Make sure they're semi autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
And the way in which we'll do this, because I am a Alecian, no critical thinking. Oversimplify the issue. Black, white, good, bad, no nuance. And demonize anybody who is against Alec.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I would like somebody now to come on and explain these to me, for me, pro or con, so that I could get enough information to make an opinion.
524-9510. Did you have any role in authoring the Jones Act Reform Act legislation introduced by Gene Ward?
No.
Were you invited?
No.
To participate?
I haven't.
Were you solicited? Yeah. Were comments solicited from you? I mean, we're talking about a new age of open government and shrinking government, and involving the people. Were you privy to any of those?
Blasphemy. What the hell are you talking about? This is the democracy depends upon information.
Right.
You need an informed person to vote in a democracy, and then a republic. You need education to pick the people that you want to represent you. Mm-hmm. There is no transparency, very little transparency.
Right.
Unless you go to some, for example, Mother Jones. Yippee! Nation. Yippee! Most of the time, New York Times. But anyway, those are some.
And so, let me interfere, disturb you for a moment here. This is a 2013-990 tax filing form.
Please.
For American Legislative Exchange Council. Briefly describe the organization's mission. The American Legislative Exchange Council is a think tank for state-based public policy issues and potential solutions. The organization's mission is to assist state legislators, members of the Congress, and general and business public by sharing research and in 4A, Task Force, Alec's Policy Task Force provides a forum for legislators and the private sector to discuss issues, develop policies, and draft model bills and resolutions, which serve as a public policy resource. The task force includes the following: civil justice, commerce, insurance, economic development, communications and technology, education, energy, environment, and agriculture, health and human services, international relations, justice for performance, project and tax, and fiscal policy.
Of course, that's what we all do.
And we all applaud that, but you see, there's this backdoor private club setting that we are not privy to. So when when the bill is introduced at a local level, then we get to participate. But how do we know how it was formulated and who's motive and who's motivated to do this and what's the real push behind the reform of the Jones Act? It's those kinds of questions that I ask.
Yes, and the trade policy that we are enacting as we speak with the Orient and with other countries, it is secret.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a congressman and you were to go down to the basement and go inside, you cannot bring any kind of recording device, and no one else can come in there. So anybody who doesn't go down and read the documents on the current trade policy is unable to do so because it's secret. Isn't that normal?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's what else is like that? Can we extend that out into local government?
Right, and we can. Inch by inch, I would hope that we attempt to recover those grounds that we've lost. So,
yes,
the whole world is screwed up, but you have to take one screwdriver and start to unscrew it one screw at a time.
And this is a little off the subject, but not really.
Well, don't go too far.
I have looked for a document called Propaganda by Edward Bernays, Bernays. Knew it existed, but have not been able to find an actual copy. In my hand, I have the copy. Everything we're talking about as we speak is in the book.
Okay, so again, now here's something else that in 2009, and Gene Ward reports in his filings that he got money from Alec for a, quote, scholarship for travel and what have you. And in that process here, Ward resolution to create democracy and governance program passes in Washington, D.C. Representative Gene Ward, Republican Hawaii Kai Kalama Valley, today announced the passage of a resolution he introduced that will create a, quote, democracy and governance program, end quote, in the American Legislative Exchange Council, a national association of the state legislators. The program will be funded by the U.S. State Department and USAID program, which sponsors democracy training seminars and exchanges between U.S. policymakers and legislators from emerging democracies. Now, are we an emerging democracy? Because we are not included in this process. And if you look at the nine meetings during this time, they don't reflect. I haven't yet defined it, and I also saw that someone else raised the issue. If they got money from USAID, why didn't they report it as a grant? Where is that information of who they received the funding from? So there's some big questions. And this letter was written, this press release was written December 10th, 2009. Now, I know some of you will quickly want to defend Gene Ward, but I'll take a man at his own words when he say that he's for democracy, open government, smaller government, transparency. What are these, just jargons, just slip of the lip?
No, Mr. Cox, you're finding fault with one of our heroes. And
okay.
I don't understand you because this is for all of us, the one percenters or less.
Yeah.
And why you find fault with us, I don't understand it. You've got welfare programs and et cetera for the rest of them. Why are you criticizing us?
Well, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. That's why I have the mic here.
Well, this is Alex signing off. Let's hope I've got to get back to my same town.
Yeah, but you understand.
I do.
This is what, you have the right to say, all of you out there, to say, well, the Democrats have a different process. Well, that's fine.
Yes.
And they, too, have jaundice when it comes to openness and fairness and equity and honest government. And they want to make government smaller, too, but they don't want to vacate their seats.
Now, it's apolitical. The Democrat, Republican, Independent, it makes no difference.
Yeah, it's just the method of the day. So, anyway, ProPublica named some of the people Altria, DuPont, Reynolds American, Altria Project, and they donate to Gene Ward. And again, it's not to say Mr. Ward did anything wrong, but they also fund the organization called ALEC. Marsha, you have a comment?
Yes, and they also, some of those same people fund the GMO, in that GMO thing.
Oh, yeah, DuPont, Monsanto, you look and you'll see that Slom and those guys. And again, I think the to stand back and look at the bigger picture, our politicians are bought off anyway. Let's just face that. They have a right to say, if they're good, the people will look at their work and vote for them. But they don't have to. And the money that they take is pennies, $200 or $150. And then in turn you see they don't want to move on legislation to protect the public. They don't want to do labeling. They'll leave it to the feds. But they, well, if you're going to leave it to the feds, then don't take their money. But then maybe that's taking the money. The politicians feel they're obligated, and then give the people the slip. But this ALEC, this is from their webpage about ALEC. They from their webpage, it shows Hawaii. Gene Ward is a state chair. And mind you, now, I've pulled up his records and his financial filings, and unless I'm missing something where one can be exempted from disclosing the officership or what have you, somewhere in there it says that you have to disclose officership and what have you in an organization. Is that correct, Marsha?
Yes. Now, the trick here is that the money is given in a name that we don't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
From somebody, somebody's wife, somebody's cousin, what have you,
mm-hmm.
that we don't recognize. But it's theirs. You can count on that.
This is, as I said, ALEC exposed under the organization. The AT&T services counterpart, Bayer, GlaxoSmithKline, and again, in all fairness, I see that Josh Green received donations from GlaxoSmithKline. But again, I don't see any legislation from Josh Green that was handed to him by ALEC. Now, I haven't looked at everything.
Oh,
and then also, Chris Lee, hold on. Chris Lee, I also pulled his records as far as donations, just to make sure. And there are some of the GMO companies that donated to him, so it's not a sterilized world with donations, but my concern is that these companies that are giving these donations fund ALEC. They support and fund ALEC. That's where the monies are coming from, to fund ALEC. And then we see Gene and Sam and others introducing legislation that is right out of the playbook from ALEC. That's the difference.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
There is a word. It is called gestalt. And this is exactly what we've been talking about. It's the organic oligarch's relationship among all entities under ALEC.
Mm-hmm.
They want to control the society, finances, and everything, and they're doing a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why you're displeased.
I love it. But that,
I have to sit here and take this?
Yeah. SmithKline, whatever.
GlaxoSmithKline.
Yeah. They are a major pharmaceutical company.
Mm-hmm.
And like Bayer and all of those others, and they're the ones that sell you the product online that you have to tell, all the commercials, where you have to tell your doctor this is what you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're one of, and I hate to say it, but one of my son-in-laws is a regional manager for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
And I've always had my doubts about pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, but again, we'll talk about that day on the sick day. But today, I'm feeling pretty healthy and cocky. For example, Gene Ward received from Altria and Client Services, Anheuser-Busch, RAI. And now, what good American would know that you can get sick from cigarettes? And there's a lot of ills with the cigarette and tobacco product. What good American would run out there and thrust himself on the sword and say, I did this for the sake of the American people because they're good people and I'm worried about their welfare, and then turn around and court the very entities that are doing things and write legislation and author things and participate in watering down health care programs, the Obamacare. I see something more sinister going on than, I won't call it a lie because it would simplify that. This is more complex. And it's a game. And some of you out there say, well, Gene Ward is just an innocuous sitting there in the valley there in Waikai. He's nothing. He won't get his bills through. Fine. You might say that. But a two-year period in the legislation, and then we introduced this. He introduced it first. Sam introduced the concurrent rule. And then eventually we get this talk, and circumstances might lead to some of these bills come into play or become active. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning, Mr. Cox. It's
yes.
Glenn from Kakaako. These public officials who receive gifts from different special interest organizations, it's only the tip of the iceberg because there is intangible influences in the gifts they receive. The idea of integrity and the idea that they were voted in to represent their specific area, if it's the breaking of integrity to correct principles and for interest of only making money and not for the well-being of our community, it's convoluted. It really is convoluted. Mm-hmm. And I like to tell you, democracy today is the consensus of the majority in what they value. Long ago, when this republic was established, the founding fathers, there were an oligarchy who principles of values was of the highest principles and values. Today, somehow an invisible hand has empowered the immoral and the lustful. Mm-hmm. And most of the
hold on 1 second here. I must, from my level of thinking and my ilk, I must inject this, and I apologize, but yes, they suggest they had integrity, but remember, these are the same dudes that had slaves. So I don't want to represent, and I don't want to be ever found for someone playing back, and I said they were not ethical. They had slaves. They had sex with young black women and had mulatto kids. So, the whole thing, there was lynching and these forefathers, and they were okay on the basis how we came to this country. I think we take the freedom sometime and become too cute. That's just my opinion, and I believe I'm obligated to say that, inject that in this conversation to strike a balance, because it wasn't la-la land. It was never utopia, and it never has been, and it never will be.
The founding fathers never wrote slavery into the Declaration of Independence.
No, they didn't, but they didn't. What did they do to stamp it out and walk away? And when they were up at their meetings and convening, who was mining their cotton fields and keeping the old ladies' feet warm?
But let me tell you this. What they established, the higher vision they had, was because based on the foundation of the scriptures of the Bible.
Okay, well, let me ask you something. Yeah. If you're amenable to this, we'll talk church one day, but from here on, when we talk about the scripture, you assume that everybody listening believes in the Bible. So it kind of a lopsided conversation for me when you inject that, the Bible and what have you. And, I know something about the Bible, but I'm not sitting here to offend people. There are some people listen to the show that don't have interest in the Bible. There are some people that are Buddhists and all kinds. So I don't want you representing that this is, they're out there listening. And let's be respectful of that. And by the way, Leviticus, if you go back and look at it, you talked last week about the eating of shellfish and whatever. It's common knowledge, but again, that's from a religious belief, right?
Oh, I eat shellfish. It's okay.
But you said last time we were killing ourselves.
You know, our Star Spangled Banner and,
mm-hmm.
most of the patriotic songs mm-hmm. has God in it.
I understand. I'm not arguing with that. But
you know, even though you think I'm stepping on some people's toes, America couldn't be America what it is today if the Founding Fathers didn't establish our national mission statement, which is the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
And our governing laws, which is...
I got you there. So we'll hold that thought, and I agree. We've heard this, and I agree with you, but I also want to inject that when I don't want to give the representation that I share your views that everything was perfect and it was utopia. It was never, and I don't want to convey that because I know of a different history. And so while I love America, I can't sit and lie to myself and, you know, and go through this gyration of she loved me not. So, hold on. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah. Yo, what's up, Carol?
Yeah, go ahead. What's up with you? You got a question?
Yeah, not really. I was talking.
Okay, aloha and goodbye, okay?
Alex here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm only going to mention it in a general way, and if you wanted me to continue, I would. But I have the actual documents, real, published by the City Ethics Commission, Advisory Opinion Number 2.
No, I don't want to talk about this. We can talk about that in another day.
Well, it's about Garcia.
Yeah, I understand, but, you know, he's also still delivering the evening news, so what's new? But we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I'm there's some things I want to talk about, Alec.
And, thank you.
All righty, you bet. See, there are certain things about Alec, folks, that Alec, from its closed doors and behind the scenes and this drafting of bills and what have you, there's issues like education. There's issues like voting rights, North Carolina. And these bills, the Koch brothers, have intervened and funded people who are anti-solar panel type. I use the term solar panel, but in the home, private homes. So don't be fooled. This is a move by private businesses. And in a time when the Supreme Court has ruled that a business is a person, then you have to ask then, our legislators, both local and national, when they convene in a room behind closed doors, as that WXIA report showed, if they convene behind doors, are we really dealing with a private company, or we're dealing with a person that the Supreme Court has identified as a person?
Well, my question then becomes, how many on the Supreme Court were funded by Alec?
You got me. You got me. But again, I want to footnote here. The Gene Ward, Gift for Information, American Legislative Exchange Council, gave him, for a date received, 7/25/2012 to 7/27/2012. A value was $1,000. And this is an annual meeting scholarship. So they call these gifts of money in airfare and what have you, expenses, a scholarship. So that brings me to the other thing that Sam Sloan introduced a bill talking about education so that you could go choose your own private schools. And again, this is right out of the textbook of Alec. Now, whether you agree or not or believe in that, that's okay. The question is, when does the public get to really participate at the beginning stages?
Well, probably not, because just in this morning's paper, there was an article about the, quote, bias of media, and it showed how many major media outlets were not doing exactly what you're doing, looking at in-depth, that, you know, all they're about is access, and if they have access, then they get to parrot what they've been told.
Yeah.
And so do we, except for people like you that take the time to dig, and Mother Jones, do we ever get to find out what's going on? My question then is exactly that. When do we, the public,
mm-hmm.
And how many people, when you mentioned Alec, thought it was a rock group or something? You know, what does it mean anything to us? When do we take, say, hey, this is at the root cause of so much that's going on. When do I get to know this? How do I get to know this?
Yeah, so here's an example of Alec Exposed. Again, this is the website that goes. But did you know, this is by the Center for Media and Democracy at www.prwatch.org. I know it's a liberal paper, and they're evil, and you know, I understand, but we can still read what they say. So did you know corporations voted to adopt this? Through Alec, global companies work as equals in unison with politicians to write laws to govern your life. Big business has a voice and a vote, according to newly exposed documents. Now, Voter ID Act, right? This legislation requires any United States citizen desiring to vote in a state to provide proof of identity at the polls, outlines permissible provisional ballots. This is very small writing. Ballots and, optionally, provides for free ID to those who do not have driver's license. And the NRA was the National Rifle Association was the corporate co-chair in 2011 for the public safety elections. So,
Hawaii is one of those states that requires a voter ID.
So, in those of you that have more to say or want to clarify this, or I won't say take me on, but you know, I say that I wrote to Poha and Kimberly Pine, Bob McDermott, and Sam Sloan, and Gene Ward. They wouldn't answer my questions, or wouldn't even acknowledge receipt of them, and wouldn't, though that I asked if they would notify me if they would be responding. You know how it is. I'm a nobody, and so are you. But because they are politicians, and they know what's good for America, right? So that is the issue. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Oh, hi, Carol. You know, it's interesting, but you know, corporate America, the best investment they can make is not in factories or that kind of stuff. It's in politicians.
Mm-hmm.
The more you pay off the politicians, the better dividends you get from your, you know, the subsidies and the corporate welfare that happens. And Alex is the perfect example of that. This is a total. I mean, talk about welfare. You know, welfare queens. You know, these corporate folks are the ones that are getting the big welfare. I mean, and subsidies and loopholes and tax cuts and on it goes. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
so the one thing I've said some harsh things about Chris Lee in the past occasionally, but here's by Ari Phillips of the Think Progress. He wrote an article March 11, 2015, and basically he is talking. I'm just going to jump ahead. Hawaii's solar industry has taken off in the last 5 years, doubling in size every year. According to Chris Lee, utilities have started to push back against this, quote, cheaper alternative, end quote, causing numbers to fall dramatically as utilities, quote, began refusing to connect people's solar panels to the grid, claiming that there were technical problems. As it now turns out, simply did not exist. So they lied and said they had problems connecting. It's the same kind of obstructive tactics to prevent competition that Alec has advocated for years, said Chris Lee. Alec, or the American Legislative Exchange Council, is a secretive organization that brings together conservative politicians and major corporate interests. In recent years, the group has led a coordinated state-level anti-clean energy and anti-EPA crusade waged through model legislation. And maybe that is why Gene Ward, Sam Sloan will smile and say, hey, how you doing, man? But then on the other hand, when you intelligently write them a letter and ask them to go on record of something that they should have shared with you in the open, you know, But no, if you're not proud of it and you're not willing to respond, then
you
what
know,
is this?
And the biggest thing here is the lack of transparency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that is about as un-American as you can get. I mean, when things are not out in the open, when they can take these politicians, put them in some back room, and we have no idea what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That is not that's not democracy at all. That's
Well, I can say for me personally, Dave, I've come to believe that they and know that they are transparent. I can see right through them because you know, really, you know this rhetoric about taking back the country and all of this and I mean Dennis Hastert, man, was one of the co-founders. Gene Ward is one of the co-founders of the task force. You understand? And I mean, where do you start to distance yourself and say, well, there's a bad couple of people there, right?
Right.
You know, and so again, education. And they're assaulting education, Wisconsin, and also environmentally.
Wow.
The governor there has threatened or has taken action to reduce the number of fire or remove a number of the environmental workers or protection people, right?
Yeah.
This is consistent right along with, because if you clear the slate, no enforcement, companies can violate, pollute, contaminate, and do all of those things because you don't have the means, and you'll have a self-policing of the activities. You follow?
You know what? You've heard of the state of Kansas? I mean, they're fiscally broke. And you know that Governor Brownback, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole theory way back in about 2010 is, well, you know what? We're going to give tax cuts to the rich,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll have this jobs flowing air and the economy will be doing good. And guess what? Now they're so broke, they don't have revenues coming in. And their economy is just in shambles, and their roads and their bridges and their schools are, and they're just coming back on that.
Right.
Because,
well,
you know,
if you
that states do.
Well, here's SB 944 introduced. It's date stamped January 23rd, 2015, by Sam Sloan, introduced to the Senate 28th Legislature, and was relating to school choice scholarship program, right? And this is, you know the deal, this is where they want to have the parents to choose their school. Have no issue with that. But again, this is all conjured up and thought out behind closed doors at these conventions. That's not democracy.
No.
It's written to get a specific outcome that's going to benefit companies and private entities, individuals. While they may say it's going to benefit the students, but...
Yeah. Well, you know what irritates me, especially when you go to these public hearings, and they give you the darn 3 minutes, and you know they cut you off, and like you're going to be able to tell what you need to tell in that 3 minutes, and they know that.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, we have time limitations. No, democracy doesn't have time limitations. Democracy needs to go. If you have to go instead of 3 hours, you have to go 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So everybody gets to get their point of view across. And forget the 3 minutes. I would say maybe 10 minutes per person.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to me. Is it somebody, some special group? I always like to go to the IHS, and they get like 10 or 15 minutes. The rest of us get a measly 2 or 3 minutes. You know?
Right. Here's an example. The Alec reading from this Alec Bills and Promote Private. Alec education bills undermine free universal public education, right? This is what this paper is claiming. The Alec education agenda also fits into the organization's broader attack on unions by lowering teacher certification standards and funneling public money to non-unionized private schools. Alec undermines teachers' unions, which guarantee fair wages and working conditions, and are a major political force that have traditionally backed the Democratic Party. ALEC education bills. So, ALEC influence bills introduced in 2013 include legislation to create, now pay attention to this, is create or expand taxpayer-funded voucher programs using bills such as the Parental Choice Scholarship Act. So, Sam Sloan's bill was relating to school choice scholarship program.
Yeah, that's
you understand? good man smile at you and say hello and all of that and tell you what the Democrats are doing. And by golly, they're doing some dirty tricks themselves. But for today, it's just a discussion of let's know our neighbors. Let's know who they are. Let's know our representative. Let's know who these people are that tell us daily, we're reminded in their every breath that they want transparent for me. They want democracy for me. They want education for me. But when it comes down to it, anything that looks like me or in an economic situation like me, my rights are threatened. I don't have that right to a free and an open education, global education, or whatever you want to call it. Some of you might call it welfare. But you can't claim you care and introduce legislations like this, like around the nation, is undermining. And the Koch brothers funding you, and we know their rhetoric and their intent.
Well, they ignore probably folks like you and me and other folks that are trying to get some information. They, well, like you call this all the time. They don't call you back. They don't. They don't answer your letters.
Abe, you know what I say? No problem. Aloha.
But it just tells me if you're not answering the letter, you're not even wanting to discuss things, that means you're hiding something.
You put it in motion and you don't want to be associated with the ill effects of it. And, you know, well, I introduced it, but look, the Democrats also signed on to it to get it introduced, too, you know.
You know what? I challenge all those silly councilmen. I think, guys, listen, I have some really good solutions to really solve the homeless problem here in Honolulu. And you could come to me. And I know all kinds of practical ways to do this. On the cheap, really, in due time, and now, right away, and not one of them ignored me. I passed them out a sheet full of all kinds of solutions and gave my email and my phone number. Not one of them, you know. And I've called every damn one of those people. Council people, and they never tried to call. A couple of them did. Their staff talked to me briefly, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Oh well, they're really busy, and they'll get back to you." Yeah, they don't ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that way, what I'm saying is that's how democracy doesn't work.
Right.
That's not what democracy. But they would love to go on the golf course and their what do you call it? Shrimp. Grilled shrimp and martinis, dinners, and that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. You're finishing?
Yeah, I'm out.
Okay, but again, you should see the laundry list of cookies and crackers that Gene Ward and... that Sam Sloan, they report receiving as their gifts, right? But on their Gene, I can't find anything where he reports receiving or as part has a item 5 officership and directorship. It says here list every officership, directorship, trusteeship, or other fiduciary relationship held during the disclosure period, right?
Yeah.
Of this filing in any business or organization, the term of office and the annual compensation. Well, I've asked us what's online. I can't find anything there, but currently at the state ethics website where there's a filing where he filed the form reporting that he's an officer in ALEC, right, or state chairperson. And yet I see that he reports that he has received cookies and flowers and to add insult to injury, here's what happened. I contact to the czar over there at the state ethics and ask him, how serious of a matter is this, failing to report this? Well, he could always claim that he forgot. Really?
Right.
You see, So why chase these people if the rules are the rules, but yet they can be dismissed, right?
Hey, you should see the food service that comes up to the state capitol. I mean, this is gourmet food, man. Mm-hmm. I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Big carts of food going in to the legislative offices and that kind of stuff. And where's all the money coming for that? I mean, I don't think the legislators have that much money. And all that they can, get these gourmet food caterers.
Well, the fishing industry, it's a known fact historically, they have, on open session, they would bring over
poke
and the great top grade sashimi. So you know.
Oh yeah.
So,
but it's that kind of stuff. But the general public really doesn't see that much. But they're whining and dining, and they're having a good old time. You know.
Hold on. Call a good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Carol.
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking to you last week at this time. I belong to Oakwood College. It's one of our black schools in Huntsville, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
World famous. It's a Seventh-day Adventist school. And I was talking to you last week. And we're having a discussion now with the Oakwoodites and how to live to be over 100.
Okay, we'll have to take that up on next week, or if you want to call back.
How can I talk to you?
You got to...
How can I meet you, rather?
You can give me a call, 782-6627.
Okay, 782-6627.
Mm-hmm. And this discussion is about a religious something?
Well, I was trying to find out why that program didn't show last week at 4 o'clock, the amazing facts. First time that ever happened.
Oh, I have no idea. That's the one you named on, you said, the radio station. I have no idea. That's a whole different station. And,
but today at 9:30, the Voice of Prophecy came on this morning at that same station. And tonight at 10:30, they repeat the same program.
Okay.
That's one of the white brothers. But he's still good. But the black brothers, I mean, they're bad.
Yeah.
They're very sophisticated.
Yeah, okay, well, I don't know. Give me a call. We can talk, and you can send me an email.
Okay, 782-6627.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Hey, thank you for calling.
All right.
Aloha. Anyway, Marcia, real quick, we're going to close up. Any quick comment?
Well, I am delighted to hear what Chris Lee said, because I had, as you know, I had given up on him, so that restores my little bit of faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
And like your caller said about the city council watching it, just I don't know where they're going. It's just heartbreaking to watch them just disintegrate into nothingness.
And to be fair, and the bulk of them are Democrat. I think Pine sits on the fence whether she's Republican or I don't know what she is today, but. But
well,
the rest
she,
of them
she was the head of she was the head of the what do you call it Tea Party in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine she still is.
Well, if you Google her and Alec, you'll see her participating in one of the visits by John Williams or one of the people and Alec. So there, it's unfortunate. I had said and believed that we need more Republicans in office to strike a balance here and strike good government. We need more independents and green parties. But when we find this kind of behavior and they're willing to lend themselves to this while preaching that they care about the American values, something's wrong there. And then this new revelation with Dennis Hastert. I think anybody today should just decide, you know what, we need to get back to governing American issues and concerns and the people's issues. And stay out of the bedrooms, because apparently when a Republican say that he's against same-sex marriage, he's trying to prevent, it appears, that he's against same-sex marriage because his lover might want to marry him. And so he didn't want to do that. You see, apparently so, because we've had toe tappings in the bathroom. We have a man that cries over everything when, as good-looking as President Obama walks in, he starts to cry. You know, not him, but Boehner. I mean, Boehner, this whole thing, we just need to let other people alone. If we're going to step in the arena of being a government employee, an entity, or an elected official, govern the interests of the people. But if you are going to be against same-sex and all the opponent choice and all, you should feel obligated to tell us what your sexual preferences are so we'll know who we're talking to and not find out 20 years, 30 years later that you really are a gay person, but you impacted and negatively impacted thousands, if not millions, of people that have different interests or same-sex interests.
And
we need something better than these lies.
And we need people to pay more attention to real issues, the real things that govern us, the economy and things like that, rather than this somebody else's bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and, you know, people, I think the big thing locally with the homeless is the lack of an affordable wage, living wage.
And that's the Gene Warch group is against that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this whole thing called ALEC, we'll keep reporting on it. But believe it or not, it's catching fire on the mainland with the same topic. And then I hope to keep you informed. And I apologize if I didn't get you enough details, but we can try again. And we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Aloha.
Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.